to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter number 2. I'm going to turn this on. I didn't turn me on yet. Yeah, I'm going to want this, I think, tonight. What did I do? Are you set? Turn that out there for you. And turn this one on for me. 1 John chapter number 2. I hope you've been following along. But we've been going through the book of 1 John on Sunday morning. We really have just finished chapter number 2. And God stirred into my heart to share something with you on a Wednesday night. I know we've been doing this on Sunday morning, but God gave me a thought in prayer that I just kind of mentioned in passing on Sunday morning. I thought, man, I'd like to preach on that sometime. And God said, why don't you do that tonight? So look, if you will, at 1 John chapter number 2. I'm going to read the entire chapter. And then we're going to read another chapter. That might be more than some folks have read in their Bible today. 2 chapters in one night. 1 John chapter number 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Hereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man should teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You may have noticed the word abide, which means to live in, to dwell with, is used. I don't know how many people happen to read the account in. I read through the chapter a few times and came up with a different number every time, so thank God for computers that helped me out. I found it 8 times in this chapter, the word abide or abideth, or abiding. I mentioned something last week as we looked at the last 4 or 5 verses of this chapter on Sunday morning, that I fear that many times we as Christians, instead of abiding in Christ, we live as homeless Christians. We live on our own instead of in his presence. And when we think of abiding and being in his presence, we think of, well, my past home, that's where I used to live. That's the old life. That's where I used to abide. And then we think of heaven. Jesus promised that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare, I will come again to receive you. We have an eternal home in heaven that we're going to abide with him physically and for all eternity. But what about our present home? God says we ought to abide with him. Our present home. Ephesians mentions 4 different times that we are to live in heavenly places or abide in him today. Not just down the road somewhere, but we're to abide in him. And I want to just share some thoughts with you tonight, and I hope that you get these. I hope that God would stir in your heart as he stirred in my heart. I just want to share really more illustration than anything. Encourage you not to be a homeless Christian. Abide in Christ. In fact, there's one other chapter that I want to read tonight in the Gospel of John. That is a parallel passage of 1 John in John chapter number 15. John, are you still with me tonight? Are we okay? John chapter number 15. And I love this section of the Gospel of John, and I love the entire book of 1 John because it is a commentary on this particular section of the Gospel of John. Notice in John chapter number 15, and again, follow along. Am I reading too fast for you, by the way? Nobody's ever accused me of reading too fast before. But I actually have these chapters pretty much memorized so I can go a little faster than I normally read. So I'm going to make sure I don't go too fast. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me and beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit and purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, as men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, but a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father. This cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out of the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. If you were to count the word abide in that chapter, you would also find it 8 times, if my counting is right. And I'll talk to you about abiding in Christ. I've been kind of meditating on this thought in my prayer time, and the Lord brought, if you excuse me, a Lester Roloff song to mind. That I love Lester Roloff singing. My wife usually says, okay, that song's enough. We can turn him off for the next month now. a song that he sings, I don't know where it came from. I have a feeling that he probably wrote it. This, The Little House on Hallelujah Street. There's a house in Grumbler's Alley where I lived some years ago, and the walls were swiftly falling to decay. The yard was full of thistles, and the roof was rotted so that the storms beat in upon it every day. Then the Spirit came and told me of a wonderful abode where from wind and storm I'd find a safe retreat. So the Savior sent his moving van and took me up the road to the little house on Hallelujah Street. I shall never forget the day that I moved from sin away and secured a change of address so complete. Since that moment, without fail, I've been getting all my mail at my little house on Hallelujah Street. Now the neighbors in the alley where I lived some years gone by have never ceased their talking from that day that I left them so abruptly without bidding them goodbye. And from all the sin and shame, I moved away. Since that shack of sin is empty where I lived so many years, and no more they hear the treading of my feet, I moved away forever from the sorrow and the tears to my little house on Hallelujah Street. Now this house is nice and cozy, and its walls so warm and tight, and the landlord doesn't charge me any rent. There's a garden in connection filled with flowers gay and bright, where so many golden hours I have spent. Here the landscape is so lovely, and the songbirds sing with glee, and I'm never hungry for good things to eat, and I'm never, never lonely, for the Savior dines with me at my little house on Hallelujah Street. Well, I've just received a letter from the King in Glory Land, that he soon is coming for all his own. He will roll down the avenue with retinue so grand, picking up the saved and blood-washed to go home. Well, I hear the wheels a-rumbling, and I hear the heavenly sound, and I see the God's redemption is complete. I am sure he'll stop and take me from this place I've lived so long, at the little house on Hallelujah Street. So I'm looking for the day when he'll carry me away, and I'll make another move that can't be beat. When I leave this earthly veil, I'll no longer get my mail at the little house on Hallelujah Street. Amen. I'm looking forward to stepping into heaven one day. Man, that is good. I love that. Now, that song in mind, and excuse me, Lester, I couldn't do it justice. I picture, I have a dream, but I picture in my prayer life, in my prayer time, or a couple of days, and I just jotted down some things finally, of walking down a beautiful city late at night with all the lights and all the glamour and the action and people walking all over the street and having a great time and hearing the singing and the laughter and the partying going on. And as I walked through the downtown area, I got to the edge of the downtown area to the residential area. And I noticed on one side of the street some beautiful homes that lined the street. Someone grabbed me and asked me to come inside of one of the homes. And the home was so plush and so beautiful on the outside, on the surface. And yet, when I got inside, I saw something far different. The facade was now behind me. I saw the foundation of this home was built upon the sinking, shifting sand of the world. As I walked through the home, they gladly and proudly showed me the many furnishings throughout the home. The many things that they had. I mean, nice things. Luxurious things. But as he went from one room to the other, I saw the nice computer and stereo setup. They still have stereo setups. I'm an old timer, okay? And yet, it was no longer in working order. It once brought joyful music to the home, but now it's in disarray. He brought me to another home, and I guess I started thinking about this a couple weeks ago as I saw some folks on a fishing lake that spent more money on fishing equipment than I would ever spend on a house. And they were having a time, and a wonderful time, and that, yet it was all in disarray. It wasn't cared for. It wasn't laid properly. You see, at one time it brought great happiness, but now it's just another piece of old furniture discarded in the house. Went to another part of the house. There are all kinds of sports equipment and all kinds of different toys and things. And yet they're all neglected and all falling apart. Now, the residents of the home seemed extremely happy when they got something new. But it wasn't long before they went to extreme sorrow and anger and fussing and fighting with one another. And I thought, well, there must be more to life than this. There certainly must be more to existence than this empty, shallow, broken-down home inside that looks so beautiful on the outside. So I decided I'm going to leave and seek for another place. So I continued down the street of that same city again, the people marching up and down the streets and having a great old time and enjoying one another's company and the flashing neon lights inviting you into the stores. And yet on the other side of the street, I saw some more homes that looked a little bit more inviting. Again, they were beautiful homes, but these homes looked like they must be Christian homes. They had crosses up on the top. Now, some of them had Bible verses pasted in the windows. Some of them even had some stained glass windows in the front. And I saw inside the first home I looked at a beautiful golden stairway winding up as far as you could see up the window. And I saw all the Christian decor and thought, well, this must be a Christian person that lives in this home. And yet, as I was invited into the home, they again started to show me through the home and I saw all the same thing. What I saw on the inside was no different than what I saw on the outside. I saw all the same toys scattered around the home, once that brought joy, but now they're just discarded. And yet, I saw in the middle of the living room, as I went into the living room, an old Bible. Beautiful Bible. I picked it up, blew it off, and noticed it doesn't look like anybody's read this for years. Don't know if they've ever been inside this book before. Don't know if they've ever opened that book. But yet, they said they're a good Christian home. And there that Bible was tucked away with all the other things of life and buried in a corner. I saw a door in the corner of the off to the side that said prayer closet. But I noticed the door was blocked with a big screen television set. No one ever opened that door for years. And there in the family room, there were chairs that were scattered around. And the family once gathered together to pray, but now there's cobwebs growing on those chairs. The family members are all occupied with distant things and no time for the Bible, no time for prayer, no time to sing the great songs of Zion. Despair, I left that home also. I saw many other homes on either side of the street, but I knew that I'd find the same thing inside. In despair, I decided I'm going to just leave town. So as I stepped outside the city limits and continued down the road kept getting narrower. And finally down an old dusty road that had a street sign on it. It's called Calvary Road. I traveled down that road for a while and finally came across one lone, simple, but beautiful home. It looked out of place here in the middle of nowhere and somewhat of a desolate area. I guess that if I were to go inside that home, it would be the same as every other home that I've ever gone into. But it looked so inviting. I decided out of curiosity, I just couldn't hold myself back. I finally went up to the door and knocked at the door. And to my surprise, Jesus himself opened the door and said, "Welcome, my child." I entered into the mud room and he took off my dirty boots and washed my feet. He took my dirty clothes off and pulled out of his closet a white robe that he called the garment of praise. And he said, "I want you to wear this throughout this house." And as I walked from room to room in that house, he took me to the dining room. It was just a simple and yet a comfortable room where we sat and fellowshiped together and drank from the water of life freely and enjoyed one another's company. I went into the study room, and there inside the study room, I found a book sitting on a table with nothing else in the room, not a whole library book, just one book sitting on a table. The book was open, and there was a chair sitting at that table where I could sit and read from that book. That book was unlike any other book I've seen before. It was alive. There was light coming out of it. There was life coming out of that book. And as I read that book, the Lord Jesus himself stood and looked over my shoulder and said, "Did you see that? Look at this part right here. Look at what I'm showing. Look at this part. Hey, did you catch that part there?" And I couldn't get enough of that book. It seemed like hours that we'd spend in that room. When finally the Lord said, "I need to take you to another room." He went to the next door down the hallway, and there again, above the door, it said, "Prayer Closet." I opened that door, and inside there was no furniture. There are no shelves. There's nothing in that room. But as we stepped in the room and we closed the door, it suddenly dawned on me, there's no light even in this room. I'm in the dark. But it wasn't long before the glory of God lit that room up. And we met together and we spoke to one another in prayer. And God's presence filled that place. And for a long time, I have no idea how long it took. We lost track of time long ago. We just had a wonderful time of prayer and fellowship. I felt like when we left that room, some of the radiance and some of the glow that I found in that room was now walking with me. We went into the living room, and there I saw the family where they were seated together, sharing the blessings and the glory and the joy of the Lord and serving Him together as a family, singing the praises of God together as a family. I looked into the bedroom and saw a little plaque on the wall that said that God gives His beloved sleep. And I had thought of many nights that I've spent up worrying and anxious about different things. And I saw that plaque and said, God giveth his beloved sleep and rest. And many times I saw a spot off to the side of the room where there were marks in the floor where someone had knelt many times through the night in prayer and yet got up refreshed the next morning, as if they got a full night of rest and sleep. And then we went to the family room that was filled with more family, extended family, not just those that lived in the house, but other guests that came to visit in the family room. They were singing, rejoicing in the Lord. Their flesh was worn and weary, but they're from the work and the battle of the outside world. But there in that family room, they had such joy and sweet expressions on their face. Their countenance glowed with the glory of God. It was indescribable what I'd seen. They seemed to be exempt from all the cares and the pressures and the storms and the turmoils and battles going on in the world outside. And as we began to step out the back door of that house, I couldn't help but to look at the foundation and notice that that foundation was solid and firm, unlike the other buildings I'd been in. And I couldn't help but to realize that that was the firm foundation that Jesus said, blessed are they that not only hear, but do the things that I command them. And I realized the secret was not only hearing the Word of God, but doing and living and abiding in Christ. As we stepped outside the back door together, I began to see a different world and what I'd seen before. Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine. Yet beyond the fields of labor, for there was a field out there where God's people would labor, where they would put in a full day's work with the sweat of their brow. But they saw beyond the field was that celestial city that they often sang about, that they often looked up at and said, one day we're moving up there. One day, we're going to be in that place. But today, God's given me a work to do. And as they bore those heavy loads and did that strenuous work, I realized that still, they had a smile on their face. They had a joy in their heart. It seemed to be arduous and laborsome work, and yet, they seemed to be going through it their day with ease. And one said, come. The Master said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you shall learn, and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I saw the secret of accomplishing much for God was abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shallowness of those that are Christians, yet the empty house they live in. We toiled and sang through the long days and often dark nights together. Sometimes the burdens got too heavy, and yet we learned to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He carried our burdens for us. Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. Oh, but Christ will soon appear and catch His bride away. All troubles will be over in God's eternal day. They all sang together, it will be worth it all when we see. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Just one glimpse of His dear face, all our sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. The days, the weeks, the years went by in such joy and such rejoicing. In the evening, we'd come home and spend the night in this beautiful home with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, from day to day, as we worked in the field, we would see in the distance that godless city that we once walked through. And I thought of the millions in that city, and my heart was broken. The millions of people that are working so desperately and trying so hard to accomplish something and to find a dream that does not even exist, thinking there's something. Some that claim the name of Christ still lived in that city, but the majority know nothing about the God of salvation. We sometimes take trips into that city and invite them to our house, but we seemed as one that mocketh to those that are lost or those that are living for themselves. I often thought of the lake of fire that awaits them. As we long for that celestial city, there waits for them a lake of fire, which they say they don't believe. Oh, if they only knew. Yet at the same time, I think of many Christians that are bound in captivity still in that city. If they only knew what they were missing to come out and live in the presence of Jesus Christ, to abide in Him rather than to try to figure things out on our own there in that godless city. I saw the heartache and the tragedy that awaited them that named the name of Christ who were headed to the same place. The same destruction as far as this world was concerned, but thank God there is a home for them in heaven. But they're going to go through a whole lot of misery and a whole lot of heartache. They're going to know what it is to have a broken home, a broken marriage, to have rebellious children and to have hate and anger and to be frustrated with the besetting sins of this world because they choose to live in that place. We invite them to our fellowship, and yet with one consent, they begin to make excuses. Well, I've got this house to mend here. I've got these things that I've got to take care of here, not realizing, oh, if they just come and live with Jesus, He can carry your burdens for you. He can give you things you never dreamt possible before. You see how futile and how worthless the things of this world are if you could just come to this place and abide in Him. If ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in Me, you'll have joy that the world could never give you. You'll have a song in your heart in the darkest nights. You have rejoicing in your soul no matter what this old world throws at you, because you know that beyond this life is something far better. And there's one to help get you through those heartaches and those burdens of this life. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can wear that garment of praise. And you can rejoice in your salvation. Oh, if they only knew what they could have by learning to abide in Christ. And oh, how sad it is to see many. I meet them every day that are lost and facing the world's dreams, not knowing that they'll never achieve those dreams. Not knowing that there's nothing but a lake of fire awaiting for them at the end of this life. And oh, how we need to reach out to them in love and compassion and share the good news of Jesus. And yet at the same time, I see so many people that, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Didn't you see the stained glass window? Didn't you see the cross above our door? Didn't you see the Bible verse tacked on our wall? But inside, they're no different than others of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that abiding doesn't start when we get to heaven. That abiding can start right now. We can pack up our little bags and move to his place and abide in him today. Oh, what a joy it is to abide in Jesus Christ, to live in his presence, to have him meet our needs, to have him set the food at the table. And yet we get so worried and anxious about how are we going to meet our needs. And Jesus said, do not the publicans and sinners worry about the same thing? Take no thought for how you shall clothe yourself, what you shall eat. But your heavenly Father will take care of those needs for you if you just trust in me and abide in me. Oh, what a blessing it is to abide in Christ and not be a homeless Christian, to not be wandering in this world of sin, but to be walking in him. My prayer as we come to this revival meeting, I pray that it would not just be a revival meeting, but God would stir a revival. And by the way, God can stir a revival whether we have a meeting or not. And God's been stirring my heart like never before in these past few months, and I'm just thrilled to see what God is going to do. And every day I'm a little more anxious to go to that celestial city. I'm a little more determined that I'm just going to do whatever I can for Christ and keep my focus on him and walk with him and do all I can to invite not only lost to come into his presence, but Christians to come into his presence and to join with us in that great family room where we gather together as a church, where God's people assemble and pray. And my house shall be called the house of prayer. My house will be a house where God speaks to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit, showing us things in his word. My Father, I pray.